Driving it home with Patty Vasquez, Patty Vasquez.
From global conflicts to greenhouse gases, the folks refusing to wear masks says, and politicians getting caught grabbing asses says, she's driving it home with Patty Vasquez.
Whew, what a 24 hours. I will be incredibly honest with you. My heart was filled with so much joy last night as I drifted off to sleep listening to the news coming out of Kansas, because this was the first true test of a post Roe v. Wade America, right? The Supreme Court decided that women had no value, that we did not have the right to autonomy. And Kansas, the GOP in Kansas was prepared to strip us permanently in that state and say that women were forced to carry a pregnancy to term regardless of anything. And I don't even want to get into the conversations about, like, well, what about an array? We have been so placated by the, oh, don't worry, we're not coming for your health care, we're not coming for your independence, you know. Oh, but you, and then it became, oh, well, I guess if a woman is raped, if a woman is if her health is at risk, we listen to those conversations. And you know what? Kansas, the voters in Kansas showed us in tremendous numbers that we matter, that women's lives are important, that women have rights, that we have equal rights. And for anybody who wants to say, well, no, what about, no, value them both was the language on the ballot. And people said, you know what? No. That is not when life begins. And whether or not that is ultimately what they said, because that is the truth. It is the truth is that a pregnancy is not a life. If that were the case, we can go on and on about the philosophy of this, that you cannot hold someone hostage for the possibility of another life, to save another life. If that's what you believe, many of us do not. And I am absolutely thrilled. We have so many volunteers and hardworking people in the state of Kansas and wherever people came to descend upon that state and say, hey, we are going to get folks registered. Voter registration went up over 1,000% after Roe v. Wade was overturned. Think about that for a second. Voter registration went up over 1,000%. This is what we need to be doing in every single election, in every single county, in every single state. We need to register voters. People need to have that. And this is not a wake-up call. Everyone's talking about a wake-up call. This is a rally cry. We need to flip our hats upside down, turn the bill up, and say, all right, now we're in it, because we are behind. We have the Supreme Court lined up to continue doing this when it comes to gay marriage, contraception. This is it. We have got to keep this momentum, this energy, this excitement. Fine, there are races all over the state where there are Republicans who won last night in their primaries that have threatened to imprison people who did not validate the false election or the false story of Donald Trump and his belief that he won the election. So all of his followers, all of I'm just astounded by how amazing last night was. Everything. Kansas gave so much energy, hope, and we owe those people so much. The voter turnout was, I think it was almost 46% for a primary. 20% of voters didn't even vote for anything else. Like, they didn't vote. Like, there were so many fewer voters for the primaries and the governor's races and anything up the ballot. No. They showed up for this, because they knew that not just in Kansas, but the Republicans across the country, they want to ban, in Indiana, they want to ban it from conception. Because, oh, by the way, we've got to get into this at some point, because I need to talk to a specialist in data and in stats, because I'm starting to follow. I've talked a lot about this guy, this lawyer out of D.C. named Mark Paoletta, who was instrumental in getting Clarence Thomas on the bench. They're best friends. He also got Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and Coney Island on the bench. He also wrote the Ukraine memo withholding support and resources in exchange for the dirt on Hunter Biden. He is still obsessed with that computer. He also withheld support for Puerto Rico, slowed that down. I mean, there are so many things this guy has done wrong, but he also is helping perpetuate the lie that biologists believe that life begins at conception, that when the sperm enters the egg, this is where we're going, folks. This is where the conservatives, the GOP, want to go, which is that once the sperm enters the egg, that's it. And by the way, that includes, apparently, the egg that is on the outside of the fallopian tube, which we've talked about, ectopic pregnancies. If you don't understand the biology of it, don't worry. Neither do I. But here's what you need to know. Sperm can get out of the area, if that helps, the region where life can actually form and come to fruition and a baby is formed and delivered. But an ectopic pregnancy happens on the outside. An egg can be attached to the outside of fallopian tubes and a sperm can inseminate that, and they consider that life too, even though it can never, ever be a baby, and will kill the mother if they have to continue carrying it to term. What was I going to say? Oh, so the biologists, they were saying, so he's perpetuating this lie that biologists agree. So 60,000 surveys were sent out to biologists. Only 5,000 responded. And of those, apparently a majority agreed that, yes, life begins when the sperm enters the egg. Only it's more nuanced than that. What is life? Is life the electrical activity? Is that life? Is life energy? What is life? And so if we're talking about less than 10% actually responding to that survey, and guess what? The survey was formulated by the extreme right-wing Christian nationalists who wanted to force the Supreme Court. This is the stuff that Thomas believes, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Coney Island, and Alito, they all believe this thing about the biologist saying that it's a consensus. Guess how many signed on to an amicus to be delivered? Out of 60,000, 70. 70 biologists said, yes, life begins. They were willing to sign a legal document. That's it. So that's what they're all going on. That's where all of this is. But they use that number 5,000 biologists say, you know what? Also, only 1 in 5 Americans voted for Trump to be president. So the rest of us should carry more weight. One out of five registered voters voted for Trump. If we go with numbers, then that means that Trump should have. I'm not good with numbers, everybody. Jim, what's on your mind, my friend?
Hi, Jerry. How are you? I'm very gratified today. I got a phone call from my aunt. She's 96. She gave up her car to the Catholic Church. Anyway, she hasn't missed mass in 50 years. She called me this morning. She was delighted with this voting, Francis. Because we're all Democrats, old Irish Democrats going back, you know. And she was delighted with it, you know, because for obvious reasons. I mean, weren't there younger girls that signed up for the first time to vote? They stood in line for 3 hours. I mean, it just shows the determination for freedom, for everybody to enjoy freedom, especially in biology, in your medical affairs. You know what I mean, Patty? To me, that's the most important thing. I don't need anybody nosing around in my medical affairs. Anyway, I'm very happy about it. It is very obvious. Thank you. We have a good show. Thank you, too.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your evening. And again, this is the kind of thing. We need to have Maggie O'Keefe on. She's the committee woman for the 40th Ward. And this is her passion and her mission in life is to register voters. When I mentioned that only 1 in 5 registered voters even voted for Trump at all. I mean, think about that. Only 1 in 5 registered voters. And that's how we got President Trump. Well, it's not the only way. There's so many things that went wrong. I mean, let's just even start with her emails, right? That lock her up chant. And here we have now, post January 6th, we have people from the Pentagon, right? We have these highly appointed folks or high offices in the Pentagon. Oh, where are your texts from? We're going to need some of your phone logs from Jen. They erased them. Secret Service. We're going to need. No. And then we were like, she used her own personal email or a home server and what was on, like all this stuff. Like what? Well, how long was she sitting in front of committee hearings? What was it, like 11 hours? taking answering questions. 13 hours taking questions, and these doofuses can't even provide any information or explanation. By the way, speaking of explanations, have you? I don't know if you've seen the footage of Alex Jones on the stand. My husband will appreciate this because apparently his attorneys, oopsie doozies. The attorneys gave the prosecuting attorney, or the prosecuting attorneys, his phone logs with information that he said didn't exist, with texts he said he never sent, only they're in there. And he said to the prosecuting attorney, I guess this is your Perry Mason moment. I guess this is your I'm a jackhole moment, which is pretty much every day for Alex Jones, who continues to harass and harm the parents of the children slain at Sandy Hook. This is what these people are capable of. And if you're listening to this and you're hard right or pro-gun or all those things, and you're like, I'm not, then you're not. Then there's nothing for you to be mad about. If this is a problem for you, if what I say is a problem for you, then go somewhere else. If I'm not talking about you. If I don't say your name specifically, then we aren't having a conversation. I'm talking about the people who do harm every single day that are Christo fascists. When Marjorie Taylor Greene says that she is a Christian nationalist because she thinks that that's like a cool thing to say about herself, what she is saying is she is a fascist. She wants us to be ruled by this religious ideology, this racist agenda that they have. And I'm telling you right now, Kansas last night told us we are not standing for this, and we need to be energized by that and carry that with us into November. Let's take a break here. 773-763-9278 is the number to call or text us to join the conversation. And we want to thank Minocqua Brewing for also fighting fascism and causing good trouble up in Wisconsin. Cheers to Minocqua Brewery. And they've got a new beer coming out. They've got Choice Beer. It's a Kolsch beer. We're very excited about that new product. So let's continue our conversation when we come back after this break on WCPT 820. I'm driving it home on the Heartland Signal. More in a moment.
The Hal Sparks radio program.
I wake up every day and I try to cultivate a sense of gratitude. Thank God that the attempted coup of our government was implemented by the dumbest people on earth. If there had been a brain among any of these idiots, we might be in big trouble as a country. Genuinely.
Yeah.
Hal Sparks, Saturdays from 11 to 1 on WCPT 820, Chicago's progressive talk. You're listening to WCPT 820 because facts matter.
Hi, this is Kirk Bankstead from the Minocqua Brewing Company, and I sell progressive beer like AOC IPA and Bernie Brew, a lovingly irascible Democratic Socialist lager. A percentage of the proceeds of every beer I sell goes to helping keep Wisconsin blue and driving the Trump cult out of our state. Enjoy a great craft beer and help your dysfunctional neighbor to the north get its democracy back.
Buy yours at Beer on Central in Evanston, D&D Finer Foods in Evanston, Rogers Park Provisions, Provisions Uptown, and Beer Shop Oak Park. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Well, I know a lot of us are fired up about what happened in Kansas last night, and we need to carry that energy into the primaries going on next week, which we are all eyes are on Wisconsin, August 9th. And we have Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area on the line with us, also a contributor to Heartland Signal. Follow Heartland Signal on Twitter or go to heartlandsignal.com to stay up to date on all the news, including apparently, first of all, hi, Dan. How are you doing today?
Hey, Patty. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you feel about Kansas last night?
It's a pretty encouraging result, isn't it? I mean, the turnout in particular was pretty staggering to see how many people really showed up and were passionate about this issue.
Do you have numbers on generally where Wisconsinites are when it comes to primaries and showing up for these kinds of elections? Because I'm curious to see how that's going to be next week.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I think, you know, because of what happened in the Democratic primary, I imagine turnout, at least on the left, is going to be a little bit down. But the turnout in is because it's a partisan primary, so you can only vote in one party's primary.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to, I think the turnout among Republicans is going to be pretty high, because we still have no idea who's going to win the gubernatorial primary between Tim Michaels and Rebecca Clayfish.
So what do you think the impact of Ron Johnson's statements about Social Security and Medicare, that Ron Johnson says that we should end them as mandated programs?
Are we starting our weekly segment now of what crazy thing reacts to what crazy thing Ron Johnson said this week?
I guess so. I think so. Yes.
Yeah, I imagine those comments are going to end up in ads from Mandela Barnes and from the Democrats running in Wisconsin this year. You know, he can't seem to help himself. Whenever he gets on the radio, he always seems to find a way to get himself into some hot water, and now saying that, you know, we shouldn't guarantee funding for Social Security and Medicare, it's going to be a problem for him. Same stuff like that's going to be a problem for him. I keep hearing about, you know, he's an incumbent in Wisconsin. He's going to have a ton of money to spend. You know, the Democratic challengers, it's not the year for Democrats, whatever people wanted to say. But Ron Johnson is going to find himself in hot water over and over again on the campaign trail. And he just can't help himself.
Well, look, this is very, look, there's this, you know, ongoing theme of Republicans constantly voting against their own best interests and the ideals that they tout, that they champion, whether it's, let's say, the military, right? The GOP is like, oh, we have to stand by our military, and, you know, a football player shouldn't be taking a knee because our veterans have fought for that flag. And then we see Republicans voting against making sure that they have the health care that not only they deserve and need, but that we promise them, right? And so I wonder, how do you think Wisconsinites are going to respond to Ron Johnson saying that the benefits that people have paid in for and have earned, Social Security and Medicare, that we should just end that? Do you think, I mean, that seems pretty significant. Do you think that will have any effect on Republicans in Wisconsin, or is the hold too strong?
I think it's going to have an effect on some of the swing voters. I mean, Wisconsin has a real independent streak. It's a 50-50 purple state, but it's a state that has a real independent streak. And when you say things like that, some of those kitchen table issues, are really going to impact people. Like, but this is who Johnson is. Like, he also said something much the same about still wanting to get rid of Obamacare, get rid of the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
You know, going back to the repeal and replace from a decade ago, that was the dominant theme of the Republican Party. But, you know, it's just an ongoing issue that, any of these programs that help people, that, you know, can make such a positive difference in people's lives, they always seem to want to go after it.
It is astounding to me. And some of the big names in funding these campaigns, right? We have the Koch brothers. And of course, you have written about you tweeted about Forbes' piece on the Wisconsin-based U-Line company and, Citizens United and all those things. Yes, are there billionaires on the liberal side? Yeah. And they tend to be, whether it's Newsom or Pritzker or other Democrats who are fighting for and are deeply devoted to it, as far as we can tell. And you know, they come to their wealth and their expression of that in different ways. But Uline really and Koch brothers have their thumb on the scales, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think, you know, the Ulines, they live in Chicago, but the company's based in Wisconsin now. And they the article in Forbes today really detailed how much they have spent in the years since Citizens United. They spent close to $200 million on races. So they're in the top five of you know, highest spending from billionaires in political races. And I think they have such a huge impact in Wisconsin. It's really overlooked a lot of the time, the type of impact that they have on our politics here. Because it's not only that they'll spend in federal elections, they were big Trump backers, but they also have spent a ton of money in Wisconsin making sure Republicans controlled the state legislature. And they are also have been some of the biggest backers of Ron Johnson. So I think it, you know, it just goes to show what type of impact that money can really have in politics. You know, in a 50-50 state like Wisconsin, where you have the almost Republican majorities in the legislatures that are very difficult to overcome, and part of that is the funding disadvantage. You know, I tweeted out that piece today, and one of the state assembly reps from Wisconsin was just talking about how she's going to get outspent in her race 5-1 or something like that, just because of the Uline money that's pouring in. It's a real problem.
Oh my God. Yeah. And that's the thing is again, this goes to the idea of people voting against their own interests. And, you know, it also comes down to like mine, right? This is mine and I should keep what I have. And, you know, what other people, you know, caring about other people does not factor in, which is why Citizens United is such a tragic moment in our history and continues to have such a negative impact on every single thing. So what are your thoughts now on the governor's primary? You know, we saw last night how, that there were races where Trump had an impact. What are your thoughts on going into the primary in the governor's race?
Yeah, I think he's certainly had an impact so far on the race in Wisconsin. He backed Tim Michaels, who was his family owns a large construction company in Wisconsin, and you know, and his challenger, the other candidate who was thought to be the longtime favorite in the race, Rebecca Clayfish. She was the lieutenant governor under Scott Walker. But with Trump's endorsement not going to Clayfish, going to Michaels, it really shook up the race and gave him a lot of support. And, you know, Trump is coming to Wisconsin on Friday for a rally with Michaels and a number of the other folks that, you know, a congressional candidate here in Wisconsin who was at the Capitol on January 6th, a number of state representatives who have voted to overturn the election. So it's it's a real cast of election deniers and insurrectionists who are going to be up there with Trump and Tim Michaels.
Well, and you've also got they have not decided yet on the Republican convention, have they?
No, but they haven't made it official, but I believe they will be selecting Milwaukee. Yeah. Nashville was one of the other final two, and their city council basically said, "No, thanks, we're good. We don't need the convention here." So it will almost certainly be held in Milwaukee.
Oh, good Lord. It'll be interesting if Chicago gets the Democratic convention and you guys get the Republican convention. It won't be obviously the same week, but it's a weird little like possibility of a rumble just about an hour away from each other. It's like some weird Cubs Brewers thing going on there.
That's right.
It's very, very bizarre. Yeah.
There's a lot of people in Milwaukee who wish the DNC would have come back for 2024 after having to go virtual in 2020.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you hearing from anybody? Now, I know that you and I both tend to have, we'll have folks pop their heads up and contradict or want to, you know, spew hate or just some nonsense. Are you getting any folks pushing back on, what kind of pushback do you get on your tweets? What kind of hate mail do you get? I'm just curious, just so we can commiserate over it.
I get a lot of replies from, and the most vicious replies are from like people who are, you know, just don't use their own name or have some sort of ridiculous photo or, you know, just the anonymous accounts that tend to be the worst in the replies. But, you know, that's just the nature of the business in this day and age. It's I feel like as a, you know, as a white dude, I certainly don't get the worst of it.
Well, I don't know, and I'm not inviting anybody to do anything. I know Rex Hupke, who used to be with the Chicago Tribune and now works for USA Today, gets some very interesting mail. I don't know if I just like I've gotten better at letting it go. I mean, certainly I have plenty of. Believe me, I keep the death threats in a certain pile. And but it's just the flailing is interesting. I have my own strong beliefs. I'm not like sending emails to Tucker Carlson. Like, Tucker's going to go stupid somewhere else. If I don't like something someone says, I just change a channel or follow somebody else on Twitter, don't you think?
Yes, but I think people are locked into this cycle sometimes of just wanting to, I don't know. I don't know what it is that draws people into this, but it's pervasive, and it's not, it doesn't seem to be changing anytime soon.
Not at all. Is there anything else on your mind before we go? I don't want to take up too much of your time, but anything else that's keeping you inspired to keep writing this week, or is it kind of like, you know, heading into the primary, it's sort of almost drinking out of a fire hydrant. There's so much to talk about.
Yeah, it's interesting because the Democratic primary for U.S. Senate was kind of thought to be, especially all-consuming for us, and was on the, you know, those of us who are on the left in Wisconsin. We thought that was going to be the big news for this week, but since three of the top four challengers had dropped out to endorse the front runner Mandel Barnes, it's this final stretch is a little bit different now. I think the Republicans are really battling it out on the gubernatorial race, but the Democrats on the left, they have aligned and have unified behind Mandela Barnes as the candidate who is going to take on Ron Johnson. And so I think they have a lower stress final stretch this week than they may have anticipated, with him kind of running away with the race in the final month here.
Is it still just there are two candidates in the race, though, correct?
Well, there are a number of, it was a really big field of Senate candidates that were in the race. And, Barnes had been the front runner throughout. He's lieutenant governor. And Alex Lazary was kind of in second. Sarah Godlewski was in third. Tom Nelson was in fourth. And all three of them dropped out to endorse Barnes. So the rest of there are a number of other candidates, but none of them have been polling above 1%. So they're kind of afterthoughts in this race. And to a large degree, too. So
I'm so sorry. I cannot believe I did not know that Sarah. I should have asked. I just thought Sarah was going to hang in there to the end. So Sarah has also suspended her race. Okay. Catching up.
That's
catching
right,
up.
Yeah.
There's so many. Okay.
Since we talked last week, she also suspended her campaign and endorsed Barnes. And then I think after that happened, you know, we saw the big names in the Democratic Party of Wisconsin all come through and endorse Barnes as well. Tammy Baldwin, Tony Evers, Ron Kind, and the party itself. So they are uniquely aligned in this moment behind Mandela Barnes as he faces what's going to be a tough campaign against Ron Johnson.
Well, that is exciting. I am grateful to hear that they are coalescing around Mandela Barnes, and excited to see what happens on Tuesday. I hate to tell you, it's not going to be as exciting what happened last night, because as you mentioned, it's a closed primary, so you have to choose a Democratic ballot or Republican, as opposed to what they did in Kansas, which was put something on the ballot, and I guess they must have an open primary. You can vote for whoever you want. So, but still exciting and you know, intriguing to see who will end up in the general election, right?
Yeah, and I think what we saw in Kansas, I think what it really speaks to is that this is not going to be your typical midterm year. I think a typical midterm year, you see the party that is, you know, that is opposite the president tends to pick up seats, and you know that still very well may happen. But I think it is the larger dynamics of the race have absolutely changed after the Supreme Court decision on Roe.
Yeah, I hope that momentum, that energy, that passion stays there, and we all show up at the polls. Well, thank you so much, Dan. Where can folks find your work, and how do they sign up for your newsletter?
Yeah, that's right. You can find me on Twitter at Dan R. Schaefer, and I publish The Recombobulation Area on Substack. We are a reader-funded publication, so if you're interested in helping support our work, become a paid subscriber.
Excellent. Well, have a wonderful weekend. We'll touch base with you. We'll talk to you post-primary next Wednesday, August 10th.
Absolutely. Looking forward to
Excellent.
It.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Have a great evening and the rest of your week, Dan. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Let's take a break here, and when we come back, we'll take your calls and texts. I know some of you are on hold. We'll continue our conversation on driving at home, sponsored by Minocqua Brewery, and more after this on Heartland Signal.
There's new information.
Explosive new information.
It's how every day starts.
Need for information.
Get the info you need from Santita Jackson. Weekday morning starting at 6 on WCPT 820.
Chicago's Progressive Talk. WCPT 820. Where facts matter.
Hi, this is Kirk Bankstead from the Minocqua Brewing Company, and I sell Choice Hard Seltzer, an all-natural grapefruit-flavored booze that you can enjoy for only 100 calories a can. Percentage of the proceeds of every can of Choice Hard Seltzer you buy goes to reproductive rights organizations in the Chicagoland area. Enjoy a light, refreshing hard seltzer this summer and support reproductive freedom at the same time.
Buy yours at Beer on the Wall, Arlington Heights, Woodman's in Bloomingdale, Kenwood Liquors in Homer Glen, and more to come. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Matters, want to hear some truth? Get your lazy ass down to the voting booth and vote, goddammit! Vote, goddammit!
Want some justice on the Supreme Court?
Yes! And you know what? Kansas showed up and voted, gosh darn it. That is, by the way, Steve Goody from his album, What I Did During My Pandemic Vacation. He will be in town performing at Whiskey Acres on August 17th, which just happens to be my birthday. So if you want to come out and we can toast together, August 17th at Whiskey Acres in DeKalb. We will also be at Tata's Kitchen and Social, 5700 West Irving Park Road on Thursday, August 18th. And there is a private party on August 19th, and I haven't figured out how to share that information yet, but we are raising funds for my birthday week for One Aim Illinois. It's an organization that helps educate people about gun violence, and they advocate for legislation. They are working very hard right now to ban military-style rifles in Illinois. Let's get to our calls right now. Let's get to, I know that we've had some folks on hold for a while, so let's get to Matt in Chicago. Hey, Matt, what's on your mind?
Hello, Patty. I've got to get out of the car soon, so I'll make this quick. Patty, you
know, yes.
They always say debate breeds comfortability, and debate breeds, not comfortability. Debate breeds, it's healthy. Debate is healthy for the soul. Patty,
sure.
I don't know if we should debate on your show anymore, because yesterday I thought your blood pressure was skyrocketing, and I was worried that you would end up in the hospital. So I don't know if debate is necessarily healthy when it comes to the Patty Vasquez show.
But well, because here's why. Yes, go ahead. You do know what.
Okay. No, I was going to say, I do know that on August 16th, I'm going to be singing Happy Birthday to you live on radio.
I appreciate it. August 17th is my birthday, yes. Well, here's the thing, Matt. It's that I know what I get frustrated over is that people use up – I have 1 hour to have these conversations, to, you know, to cover what's going on in the news, to, you know, this is really essentially my passion is to get folks civically involved. It is not a debate show. And by civically involved, I mean tapping into the people who know that things are going wrong, whether it's women's independence, gun violence, healthcare, you know, all these things that are important to us, our safety, our education, our communities in Chicago. Those are the things that I'm interested in. I am not interested in sharing this platform with people who are completely unable to have empathy for those who need it the most, right? Whether it's the most vulnerable, and I hate using that word, but, you know, they talk about how, like, well, you know, we need businessmen running our state. We need business people running our government. Guess what? Government doesn't run as a profit. This is not a business. The government is for the safety, the education, and well-being of the people. And if we are doing everything that Trump ran on, everything that Trump did was the opposite of that. And I'm not giving over my airtime to people who are all about themselves, their family. Oh, what if my wife is getting raped? What if my kids are, that's horrifying. But you're actually saying what if rather than what is happening to people in real time. That's why my heart rate was getting up there. That's why, Matt. Hi, Matt.
Well, I have to say, you know, we had. Can you still there?
Yes.
Patty.
I am. Yes, can you hear me?
Patty.
You muted yourself.
Okay.
I think.
Hi.
Hi.
And believe me, I have no mute button. But I will say this. You know, you said we can't have politicians be businessmen or businessmen be politicians. I hate to tell the Republicans this. We had a businessman in the White House. Mind you, he wasn't a good businessman, but regardless, he was a businessman. And look how well that went. I mean,
right.
what needs to happen for people to actually, I don't want to say become woke, but wake up.
Well, woke means, and woke, by the way, is a term that was used in the black culture, which really is about, or at least my understanding. I should not say what really is anything. My understanding is learning about what reality is, what the truth is, whether it's where we come from, what our history is, what's actually going on. Woke means being informed, and now it's a term to diminish and to marginalize those who are invested in helping other people. In doing the right thing. The opposite of woke is being asleep and not caring and not doing anything and not being engaged and involved. And not, fine, be asleep. But the woke folks are going to keep out here doing the work.
Well, thank you for that. You're always so gosh darn inspirational. And you give lessons on the radio. You're like an 80s sitcom. By the end of the day, it's been funny, it's been sad, but we're always going to learn one life lesson.
There so, you go. Hey, Matt, will you do me a favor leave? Yes, go.
Yeah, please go.
No, can you leave Lady B your... I'm going to stop. You go.
No. Oh, God, the delay on this. No, I was going to say, I hope that's your son in the background, and I hope he's doing better. But can
he
I leave
is...
Lady B my wife?
Leave Lady B your email, please. I want to send you something.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I definitely.
All right.
Love you, Betty.
Talk
to you.
Have a good evening. I love it. I would love to talk to you then. It must be a delay. I'm having a little bit of a tech issue with my equipment today, so I apologize, folks, if it's like, sorry, everyone. Myrna in Chicago is joining us. Hey, Myrna, what's on your mind?
Hi, Patty. A couple of things. Willie Wilson. I voted for him in the last election because he had some really good ideas how to lower crime rates on the West Side. I was so disappointed when I found out that he voted for Trump. So I was wondering if maybe you or Joan could get him on the show to answer why he did that, because that was very surprising and disappointing to me.
Well, can you remember, before we go to the second thing, can you remember what was it about crime that you thought was a good idea? Because I don't remember him having ideas that I found to be at all forward thinking.
He had plans of establishing businesses on the West Side,
uh-huh.
mainly like in the higher crime areas, to mm-hmm. basically just employ kids, young adults from that area to keep them off the streets, keep them busy. Okay. Being a businessman, he would be perfect person to establish a business instead of somebody who is like a lawyer, like the one we have right now as mayor, and has no business knowledge, doesn't know how things work. Okay. And it makes sense. Aside from the, people are saying he's trying to buy votes with these gas cars and stuff. He was giving money away in his area and on the West Side way before he even became candidate for any position. So that's
right.
Nothing new. He's not trying to buy any kind of vote. And that's why, I like him. I like his ideas. But it was so disappointing when I heard that he voted for Trump. And if it's going to make a difference as a mayor, who he's voting for, that's going to, turn people away from him because of that. People are not, into the Trump ideals. And if he's going to use some of those ideals to run Chicago, it's not going to work.
Gotcha.
So that's why I'd like to find out, from him personally, why he did that.
Okay.
Second thing, if people in Wisconsin are listening, you really need to research who backs your candidate. Koch brothers have a plant not far from where I live. We had a issue for years of the pollution that we were experiencing from the dust. It's a coke plant. It's black material. It's dusty. It kept blowing all over the place, especially the residential area that's not far from where the plant is. They fought it and they fought it, and we had to fight them too. We were a small group. We're a low-income area, but we all banded together, and we fought them, and we won. And they're everywhere. They get their fingers into everything they can. So if you're thinking that you have a good candidate, find out who's funding their campaign
yeah,
first.
Yeah, that's a good point.
See if you agree with that. I forgot what the third thing was. Oh, third thing. As far as Kansas, you know, people, I've heard people calling in saying they don't vote because it's only one vote. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Kansas just showed you that your vote does matter. Kansas isn't a big place like New York or California where you have a ton of major cities. Kansas has more small towns than it does major cities. Those small towns, all of those votes came together and made a huge difference. So if you're thinking my vote doesn't matter, you really need to pay attention to what happened in Kansas and turn around and think about it and vote. You can do it by mail. You can do it in person. Whatever way you can do it, do it. Make a difference. Start doing it now if you haven't done it in the past. And that's it.
Oh,
and
well said.
Happy birthday to your son.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening. I'll talk to you again soon. Let's take a break here. We'll take our last two callers of the show. We've got Roosevelt and Jasmine on hold. 773-763-9278. I might try to get you in if I have some time, or you can always text us to that number, 773-763-WCPT. More in a moment on Driving It Home with me, Patty Vasquez, on the Heartland Signal.
Because facts matter. You're listening to WCPT 820.
Hi, this is Kirk Bankstead from the Minocqua Brewing Company, and I sell progressive beer like AOC IPA and Bernie Brew, a lovingly irascible Democratic Socialist lager. A percentage of the proceeds of every beer I sell goes to helping keep Wisconsin blue and driving the Trump cult out of our state. Enjoy a great craft beer and help your dysfunctional neighbor to the north get its democracy back.
Buy yours at Beer on Central in Evanston, D&D Finer Foods in Evanston, Rogers Park Provisions, Provisions Uptown, and Beer Shop Park. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
On January 6, 2021, followers of Trump and something called QAnon attempted a coup at the United States Capitol. Who are these people?
Yeah, we didn't even talk about January 6 or the subpoena, the federal subpoena for Pat Cipollone. I know that Renato Mariotti, a regular on this show as well as a guest host for WCPT, has been making the rounds talking about that. So many things. There's just so many things. We can't get to them all. Roosevelt, my friend, what's on your mind?
Patty, thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
First of all, I want to say that I love you. You don't know how much you appreciate it. And maybe a lot of people don't say it, but I could tell by the way they talk to you, all the regular callers, Jim in particular. Shout out to Jim, Matt, and all the guys.
Thank you.
I'm going to try not to take too much time because I know you got another caller. I wanted to follow up on what you and the guest that you had about the elections and what happened in Kansas. That is an indication of what's going to happen. And if you notice, Jones has been saying this is not going to be a so-called average or regular midterm election. Thanks to the Supreme Court, look what happened in Kansas. Kansas, I believe, is a red state, Republican state. Of course,
indeed.
You got the wackos in other states, and it's very surprising to me that in the state of Wisconsin, the bedrock of democracy has come to the point where you got these guys that are still supporting the lie of the orange creature. So abortion, gun control, and I'm going to say it the way you say it. I used to say gun reform, and I agree with you. I don't care if they get mad. Gun control, I agree with you. You changed my mind. I was trying to walk on eggshells when it came down to the gun control issue, but not anymore like you said.
Nope.
So I'm going to follow up on what you've said in the past. And I want to reemphasize that we got to continuously praise our president. The thing that this guy has done, he's done more than Obama did in 8 years. He stopped the war, brought our kids back, which, by the way, brings to mind Joe Walsh, the Republican Joe Walsh from Illinois, praised him because he said that Biden was right of bringing our boys, and he had the guts to bring our boys back. Adam Kinzinger also is on the list. Cheney is on the list. They said that he was right of stopping the war and bringing our kids back. That's a big accomplishment. So we have to
really
say that. And by the way, he ordered the killing of Zawahiri. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. The right-hand man, the mastermind on 9/11. That's big. And I'm going to borrow what I've heard on Stephanie Miller's show. You have Democrats, because they said they're always soft on defense. But you have the Democrats that Obama killed Osama, okay? Biden killed all I don't know what this guy's name, Zawahiri. And so then Democrats killed the terrorist, and you have the orange one that plays with terrorist golf and takes money from terrorists and supports killers like Putin and Russia. So there's a big contrast. So the idea that both parties are the same couldn't be no more wrong than that. So
exactly. Yeah. And to your point about Biden, and we have always been bad about patting ourselves on the back and blaring out the goals attained. Absolutely. And the thing is people respond to their wallets. And even then, gas prices have gone down, what now, almost 50 days in a row? And that's still not enough for people? Okay, whatever. So let's get Jasmine. Thank you, Roosevelt. I think we lost you there. Hopefully you didn't lose me. But Jasmine has some news for folks, and she wants to let you know what's going on. Hey, Jasmine, how are you doing today?
I am great, and I'm sorry I haven't called in a while. Lots of sailing.
Yeah, it's busy summer for you, my friend. What's going on this weekend?
So this weekend, I'm going to be competing in the Independence Cup, which is also combining to be the Team USA Paralympic Championship. So lots of big racing this year. And if any of you guys wanted, if anyone wanted to, follow the race and check the progress of my boat or any boat, you can find it on yachtscoring.com.
So yachtscoring.com. And what is the name of your boat?
It's going to be, if you just look up the Freedom 20 class, I'm going to be crewing with Bonnie. I don't want to give her last name on the radio, Bonnie, you'll find me.
Okay. So this is the Parasailing Championship, which started today, correct?
It starts Friday. There is sailing tomorrow, but it's just a practice day. So, nothing is being scored yet. Mm-hmm. The actual racing that counts goes Friday through Sunday.
Okay. And are there places along the lakefront that folks can go out and cheer, or is this really kind of
it's more like for our sailing center thing. It's not like the Sail GP.
Gotcha.
I hope people got out to watch that, because it was an amazing race.
I did not get a chance to get out and watch that, but but is there any? There has to be a live stream at least, or one boat should at least have the audio and video of what it's like to be out there on the water.
Not a lot of people care about disabled sailing, unfortunately, enough to live stream it.
Oh man, come on! All right, so tell folks again how they can follow your race in particular.
If you want to follow the progress, go to Yacht Scoring. That's YACHTscoring.com. Search for 2022 Independence Cup. And if you look for Bonnie, you'll find Jasmine. We're on the same boat.
Now, Jasmine, we've been talking since you were in high school, I think, is when we started. I think you were 14 years old when I was hosting an overnight show, and you were staying up way later than you were supposed to.
You got me involved in. You got me involved in so much politics, so I don't regret it.
But I could never send you prizes because you didn't want anything to be sent to your house, because your grandmother would find out that you were listening to me till 2 a.m. sometimes. So I've got to figure out a prize package for you at some point to make up for all the prizes, all the pizzas and other items that I never got a chance to send you. We'll figure out something. And do me a favor. I'm sure I have it. I know I have your email, but I want to invite you to something soon, too. What were you going to say?
I was also just going to say, go Kansas. I hope they do it in November. Because I was listening to NPR this morning, and apparently a Democrat has not won a governor in that state since 1964. That's 58 years of Republicans, people. Get it together.
Well, and the thing is, you know, there were they do estimate that there were probably like 10 to 15% of Republicans that voted to make sure that that abortion was safe and legal in Kansas. And
I heard that they might not cross the aisle again in November.
Correct. But the people that did register, we were talking about this earlier, over, 1,000% of voter registration went up after Roe v. Wade. So hopefully those folks feel that energy and do show up to the general election in November. So, yeah, I'm with you, Jasmine, on that. Thank you so much for calling and telling us about your race.
All right. And I'll give you my email. Do you want it through Messenger
Yeah. Just remind me on Messenger. Send me your email address. I appreciate it.
Okay,
thank
cool.
you, my friend.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you. Thank you. And everybody, thank you so much for tuning in today on Driving It Home. Tomorrow, we are going to have special guests. We've had Steve Goody on, our musician who does all of the intro music and a lot of our bump music. He'll be on with us, and Brad Tassel. They'll be live from Edinburgh, where they are performing in the Fringe Festival. So they'll be joining us tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about what folks are thinking about the United States overseas. So tune in tomorrow, and look forward to hanging out with you. Mike Crute is up next. Thank you, Lady B, and everyone back at WCPT. Have a wonderful evening.